Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erechin Daf Yud Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will begin 12 lines from the top of Daf Yud Ches. We have a quote from the Mishnah, Avol b'korbonos eino kein, and then v'chulei. In this case, v'chulei is etc. What we really need to focus on at this point is the continuation of the Mishnah on Daf. This Mishnah, of course, was found on Daf Yud Zayin Omid Beis, at which point the Mishnah said, "Afilu meis oviv v'hiniach lo riboy." It's pointed out that this section of the Mishnah is dealing with erechin, a person who had made an erechin vow, donation, and he himself is not a man of means. He's an oni, and we know that when you're dealing with an impoverished person, so there is an allowance made for him to pay less than the actual Torah rate. So the Mishnah tells us that even if his father died and left for him Rebo is an amount, 10,000. It's a lot of money, we'll say. Osfinaso bayam, or a boat at sea. Ubalo beribos, ein lehegdish bo klum. So the Mishnah describes a person that seems to have come into the money, and we're saying this literally, meaning the Gemara itself will reinterpret the Mishnah, but at this point it seems to be describing someone who has come into the money, and yet there is an allowance made because of his initial state of being an oni to pay less than the actual Torah rate. The Gemara will ask about this because it doesn't seem to make sense. The Gemara, Oviv meis v'hiniach loy riboy. On this, the Mishnah had said, ein lehegdish ba klum, that the Beis HaMikdash has no claim on these monies. The Gemara asks, well, Ashir who? He's a rich man. If you have a person that had made an erechin vow, and before he comes to pay it, he inherited a lot of money, so why shouldn't he pay the full bill? He's a rich man. Omar Rebbe Avo, Emo, rather read the Mishnah as Miniach Loi Ribo. The father is not dead. We have a person who himself is impoverished, who made an erechin vow, but his father is not dead. But when his father dies, so this man will inherit a lot of money. So the Gemara says, Pshita, well, if he hasn't inherited anything, so of course Hegdish doesn't have any claim. Hegdish meaning the Beis HaMikdash funds don't have any claim on that. The Gemara answers, what the Mishnah is talking about is Kishahoya Oviv Goises. We're talking about a person who made an erechin vow, and his father is a Goses, when the Goses is a person in the throes of death. Rashi says, Bishol Shalkoin Maricha, when the Kohen comes to evaluate how much this poor man can actually afford, the speaker, the vower's father, is in the throes of death. So, Mahu Detemo Roiv Goisesin Lamisa, one might have thought to apply a rule that states that the majority of people in the throes of death actually don't get better, they die. So we should consider this person who's taking the erechin vow as being already into the money because of the, we'll call it an inevitable eventuality. Komash Malon, the Mishnah tells us that we don't look at him as already in the money, and by the Mishnah having told us, de'ein lehegdish klum.
The Mishnah also mentioned, described the case of Sfinoso Bayam, a person has a boat at sea, Ubo Loi Berivos, and the boat, it would seem to mean that the boat is earning for him thousands and thousands of dollars, and the Mishnah says he has the Ein Lehekdish Bo Klum. Well, the Gemara asks, Oshir Hu? Well, he's a rich man if he has a boat that contains so much, or that provides so much money. Omar Rav Chisda, Kishoisa Muchkeres Umuskeres Biyad Achirim. We're talking about a person who owned a boat, but the boat is rented out. Muchkeres and Muskeres are different forms, different rental agreements. And the reference to ribos, which is, we said, tens of thousands of monies, that's a reference to the rental fee that he's going to receive. So the Gemara says, well, isn't there the rental fee? He's making a lot of money from this boat, so why is it that ein lehekdish bo klum? The Gemara answers, schirus eino mishtalemes elo lebasof. Rental fees are paid only at the end of the rental period. So if you have someone that made an erichin vow, that is a poor man, true, he anticipates making this rent money, but that's only paid much later. If he's rented the boat out for 5 years, so he's not due the rental payment until the end of the 5 years. So he doesn't have that money now. And as a result, we can't consider it as part of his wealth. And therefore, Hekdish has no claim on it. The Gemara asks, V'tepukle mishum sfina. Well, what about the fact that he is the owner of the boat? The boat has value to it. Wouldn't that make him an oshir? The Gemara answers, we don't look at the boat as it represents the means of this man's income. Ha money, Rebbe Lozer he. This mission is in accordance with Rebbe Lozer. Disnan, we have a Tanaic source which brings out the opinion of Rebbe Lozer. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, im hoya iker. If the person who made the erichin vow is a farmer, no sein lo tzimdo. We leave with him the pair of oxen that he uses for plowing the field. V'chamor, if he's a donkey driver, no sein loy chamoro. We leave with him the donkey through which he earns his money. In other words, when we come to evaluate a person's wealth and look at items, look at things that he has as being fit for Hekdish to collect, we don't look at those items that serve as the man's parnosa, as the man's income. So we can't factor in the value of the boat toward this person's vow fulfillment. The Mishnah. You will notice that this Mishnah essentially quotes points that were mentioned on Daf Yud Zayin Omen Aleph in the Mishnah, and here it elaborates on the things that were mentioned there. Hashonim Benidar Ketzad. What is meant by Hashonim Benidar? Don't forget, we dealt with the word Nidar and explained that it really meant Ne'erach, because we're dealing with Erechin, and the Gemara had on Daf Yud Zayin explained why the use of the word Nidar, but here the Mishnah explains the application of this phrase. Yeled Sheherich Zokein. Yeled is a young person. In this case, it's a reference to someone who is between 20 and 60. It's a relative term. Yeled, most people would associate that with a child, a youngster, but it's only relative to that a person above 60 who has a different erech rate. So, yeled sheherech zokein, no sein erech zokein. If a person between the ages of 20 and 60 vowed to give an erech, to give the erech of a person above 60, so no sein erech zokein, he'll give the value of the subject, not his own value. The zokein sheherech es hayeled, a person above 60 who vow to give the erech of a younger person, nosein erech yelid. He'll give the value of the younger person, and it's not, and he doesn't give his own value. Ho erechin banerach ketzad. What is meant by that phrase? Ish sheherich isha, nosein erech isha. If a male vowed to give the erech of a woman, so he gives the erech of the woman, and being that he took the vow, he doesn't give his own erech, or his own gender erech. V'isha shericha ish, nosenes erech ish, a woman who vowed to give an erech payment to the base image, the erech of a man, so she gives his erech. Another phrase that we saw, vo erech bizman ho'erech, ketzad. What's meant by that phrase? Hericho pochos mi ben chomesh, v'nase yeser al ben chomesh. If the subject of someone's erech concerned a child under 5 years of age, and before the erech was paid, the child became more than 5 years of age. That five-year mark represents a different erech rate. Likewise, pochos mi ben esrim, a person had made the erech vow concerning a subject that was less than 20. V'nase yeser al ben esrim, nosein kizman ho erech. The payment is made as according to the rate at the time of the vow, not at the time of payment. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a source that is not very long. You can see it continues till the Mishnah. However, the opening part of this source is a little vague, and Rashi will offer a much fuller explanation. Ato hikshesa domim le'erechin. We compare domim. Domim is a market value vow. And erechin is a Torah rate vow. We have compared domim to erechin regarding margulis lekalim v'lidoin b'chvoidoi. So we know there's a comparison of these two realms of vows, of a domim type vow to erechin regarding these two points, margulis lekalim and lidoin b'chvoidoi. We'll have to explain this in a little while when we go through the Rashi. Yochel nakish erechin ledomim shiitein kishas nesina. Would one think to compare erechin to domim? In other words, a comparison the other way around. To compare the realm of erechin to the realm of value payments, market value payments, and have things established based on the time of payment. Tamud lomar ke'erkicho yokum. Eino noisin elo kizman ho'erech. When it comes to erech payments, the payment is based not at the time of payment, which would be the case in a value type vow, but in the realm of erechin, payment is made based on the rate at the time the vow was taken, was made, was enunciated, was verbalized, not at the time of payment. Let us go through the Rashi on this section of Gemara. Rashi, you'll notice, is further up on the page where the Rashi Gemara commentary begins. Ato hikshesa domim le'erechin. Perek kamo, in the first perek, the amrino neder be'erkecho nefoshos. The posuk had said, neder be'erkecho nefoshos, neder hainu domim. Neder is a reference to a vow based on market value of something. Be'erkecho hainu erechin, it's a reference to the Torah rate value, the Torah rate assigned to people based on gender and age. Hekishin akosuv lahani treimili. The Torah compares nedorim to erechin regarding two areas. One was called margulis lekalim. The other one is lidon bechvodo. Lidon bechvodo, we have discussed this in the past on a few occasions. This has to do with someone who vowed to give the value of one's heart or one's brain, organs that without which a person could not live. So that even though if one vowed to give, let us say, if one has, let us say, vowed to give the erech of someone's heart, we say that he's obligated to give the entire value of the person, because the erech of a heart is the basis of a person's life. So it's as if you spoke about the entire individual. This would not be the case if you spoke about the erech of someone's leg. A leg is a limb, all as important as it may be. A person can live without it. Hence, the concept of erech wouldn't apply to it, because erech is a fixed Torah rate based on a person's value and a person's established Torah rate, depending on age and gender. But it's an entire person, not a limb. Now, that we know, this concept of Eiver Shanashama Tluyabo, which is called here Lidon Bechvodo, we know that if a person says, I want to give the value of someone's heart, a market value type vow, we also say you have to give the entire person's value. This is an outgrowth of saying that we compare the dinim of domim, were makish domim to erechin. Just like by erechin, the erech of someone's a vital organ is essentially the value of the erech of the entire person. So to a market value vow of a person's vital organ means you give the person's entire market value. The first point, though, is what's this margulis lekalim? So here we go through the Rashi. Margulis lekalim, dazlinim b'margulis. Margulis is a pearl or a valuable stone, a gem. Boser kalim. We go according to the low rate. Dichtiv be'erchin. What do we mean by low rate? We'll see shortly. Dichtiv be'erchin. It says in erchin, v'nosan es ha'erkecho b'yom ahu. V'darshinon lekamon, shelo yishe margulis lekalim. We don't, and later the Gemara on Daf Chof Dalet says, we don't delay with regard to the margulis. Oni sheherich atzmo. Now the Rashi explains the case. A poor man that vowed to give his own erech. Uvo kohen la'richo, and a kohen came to evaluate how much can he afford. V'yesh lo margulis shel v'shloishim sloim. And he has a gem, or a pearl, worth 30 selah. The speaker himself is, let us assume, between the age of 20 and 60. His Torah value, if he could afford it, would be 50. We're talking now about an impoverished man, and he's got this margulis worth 30. Ein oimrim, we don't say, im mashin oiso ach yalua lekrach, if we would delay until we would get this margulis to the big city, shiesham oshivu yiknena b'chamishim slaim, there you have wealthy people that are willing to pay a lot of money for these things, and he would pay 50 selah, hilkoch chamishim slaim yeshlo v'yitein erech sholem, and therefore, let's look at this person who's got this pearl and say he's really worth 50. In other words, since the pearl has a potential 50 sloyim to it, we'll now say that this man who otherwise is impoverished but he happens to have this pearl, that he's worth 50 and he's therefore obligated to pay 50. Ein omrim came. We don't say it that way. We don't look at things that way. The ein lehektish ela mekoymo v'shaito. Hektish has a claim of 30 on this guy and no more. V'hochinami v'domim. And likewise with a value, market value type vow. Im omar demei margulizu alai. If a person said, I want to give the market value of this pearl, ein shomin oisalafi mecher akrochim. We don't evaluate it according to the high price he could fetch in the large city. Elalafi mecher oisoi shav oisamokum. We evaluate it according to the local rate at this season in this place. Therefore, if a person made such a vow to give the market value of this pearl, he would be obligated to come up with 30 sloyim. A sloim is a type of coin, 30 and not more. So in the source, we pointed out that we compare the rules of market value vows, domim, to the rules of erechin. Just like by erechin, we said margulis lekalim, that he's evaluated wealth is based on the kalim, the low rate, based on where he is at that time, not the potential. So too with market value type vows. And Velido and Bofoto, we spoke about that already with regard to vital organs. The source had gone on to say, should we compare Erechin to Damim to give Kishas Nesina? Let's look at Rashi. Sheiten Kishas Nesina. Debedomim, when it comes to a market value vow, Kshitolon Dioyev Kishas Nesina Vokshas Neder. Da Ke'eved Beshuk Shomen Oisoi. The evaluation is made based on, if you're talking about market value of a person, we say that the amount that he's obligated to give is how much they would pay for him in the market. If a person had said, I want to give my market value to the Beis HaMikdash, B'Tishrei, and he said it in the month of Tishrei, U'B'Nisan Ba LeBeis Din, and eventually comes for being evaluated a half year later in the month of Nisan, he comes to the court. Mi yodea ma yoshova b'shas neder. Does anyone know how much he was worth a half year earlier? V'sha'as nesina hainu shah shubo lebeisin. When we speak about shas nesina, the time of giving is really the time he comes to be evaluated. So that we know as far as market value vows. The payment is made based on the time, not that he spoke, but rather at the time he comes to be evaluated. Should we say the same thing by Erechin, that the Torah rate is based on the time that the Oni comes to be evaluated? So we say no. If a person, let us say, was, when he took the vow, he was under 20, and when he comes to be evaluated, he's over 20, the vow, the rate, the erech rate, is based on the time he spoke, and not the time he comes to be evaluated or comes to pay. The Mishnah, Yoim Shloishim Kilamato Heimeno. This Mishnah has broken down the different erech rates or ages. So if you have someone that was evaluated when a child, an infant, that was 30 days, he's now on his 30th day of life. So the Mishnah says, Kilamato Heimeno, 30th day is like less, and there is no erech to an infant. The Torah assigns no rate to an infant under 30. So day 30 of the child's life is like under. Therefore, if I say I want to give the erech of this infant, you won't be obligated to give anything. Shnas chomesh u'shnas esrim, a person in their 5th year of life or their 20th year of life, they haven't completed 5 years and start the 6th, or they haven't completed 20 years and starting into the 21st. So the 5th year, or the 20th year, is kit lamata. The rate will be based on the lower age bracket. So that we know that there's a change in value after 5. In other words, between 30 days and 5 years of age, there's one rate, and between 5 and 20, there's another rate. So the 5th year, he pays like the rate under age 5. And in his 20th year, he pays like the rate under 20. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, in the case of an erech of a zokain is a person over 60. It says there, v'im miben shishim shona v'mala. From that pasuk, hare anu lemeidim bekulon, we learn from all of them, we learn regarding all the other age groupings, mishnas shishim, from the way we look at 60. Mashnas shishim kilamato heimeno, just like the 60th year, from the pasuk we can see, the 60th year is considered like the grouping just under 60, like 59, 58, etc. And we know that there's a rate from age from above 20 till 60. We know there's a rate. So in the 60th year of a person's life, he's considered as part of that grouping. Af shnas chomesh u'shnas esrim kilamato heimeno. So to those ages, 5th year and 20th year are like the group, like the grouping that is less than. In other words, 5 is like less than 5, and 20 is like less than 20. From the pasuk itself, when it came to age 60, the pasuk had said, "V'imben shishim shana v'mala." When does he become considered having the zokain rate, which is a lower rate? When he is 60 v'mala. The word v'mala indicates that he has completed 60 years, and that he doesn't enter the he doesn't enter that new category, which is a lower rate, until he completes a full 60 years. So that's this year 60 itself is not considered as having completed 60. Likewise, when we speak about year 5 and year 20, it's not as if they've completed those ages, and hence they fall under the lower rate. The Mishnah asks, can you really learn from Shishim to these other categories? Hein im oso shnas shishim kilamato mimeno lahachmir. When you look at age 60, 60th year, and you say that he's like less than 60, well, that results in a higher payment, a higher rate. That's a chumrah, that's a stringency. And fine, we can say the Torah is being stringent and expecting him to pay more. But can we use the same logic to let a person get away with less? Nasishnas chomesh ushnas esrim kilamato mimenu lahokel? Should we say that, compare those other age groups, the 5th year or 20th year, to be like less than them, and as a result, he would end up being able to pay less? Well, Talmud Lomar, Shona Shona, L'Gzera Shava. We have an oral tradition called a Gzera Shava, a word comparison, which tells us that in fact you do make this comparison. Ma Shona Mula Bishnas Shishim Kilamato. Just like the Shona word that appears in the context of a 60 year old. The Pasuk said, Im Ben Shishim Shona. So just like Shona found by the 60-year-old, Ma Shona Amura Bishnas Shishim Kilamato, the 60th year in that case is like the less, like the younger category, meaning like he's treated like 59, and we know the rate for that. It's happened. We know the rate. Af Shona Hamura Mishnas Chomesh Ushnas Esrim Kilamato Mimenu. So too, Shona that appears in the context of 5 years and 20 years, when a person is in their 5th year and in their 20th year, it too is treated kilamato, like less than. So just to repeat that point, we should continue actually reading. It's kilamato mimenu bein lahokel ubein lahachmir. Regardless of what the result is, whether it results in a kula, in a leniency, a lesser type payment, or as in the case of 60, it results in a larger amount to be paid. Rabbi Lozer Omer, ad shiu yiseros al hashonim chodesh v'yom echad. Rabbi Lozer says the ages stated in the Torah in order to be considered in the next category, it's not sufficient that they complete that particular age group by simply one day, but they'd have to be completed that age group and by a month and a day. In other words, if a person is going to be, let's say, completed his 20th year and hence enter the highest rate of payment, he would have to have completed 20 years, a month, and a day. The Gemara, now addressing this Gezeira Shava, says Mufne, that the words Shana in the Torah are extra or available to make this word comparison. De'i lo Mufne, if they weren't extra, in other words, if we looked at them as being essential to the topic, then we wouldn't be able to say that they're free and available for the Gezeira Shava, for the word comparison, because when you have words that are essential for the topic at hand, we have a right to ask questions. Ika lemifrach kedeparchinon. We would ask as we did, namely, how can you compare the way we treat the 60 category as to the way we would be end up comparing that, the 60 category to the 5 and 20, when in the case of the 60 category, it results in a chumrah, whereas applying that same approach to the 20 and 5 category, it results in a leniency. So, because the words shana appear to be extra, can we make the gezeira shava and not worry about the logic that would serve as a challenge? So the Gemara points out shana shana yaseri ksivi. In fact, there are the word shana appears in an extra form, extra words shana that appear in the Torah, enabling us to make this gezeira shava. Otherwise, we would have challenged it, as we said. Lemo masnisin delo karebi. Should we say that our Mishnah is not like Rebbe? Our Mishnah that needs the Gzeira Shava in order to compare the Shnas, to come to the conclusion that Shnas Esrim is like less than. And it was in the 20th year, it's like 19. It would have the rate, the total rate for the category between 5 and 19. So our Mishnah that needs the Gezeira Shava to come to that conclusion doesn't seem to be like Rebbe. D'e Rebbe, if the Mishnah were according to Rebbe, Omar, he has a different rule. Ad, the Ad Bichlal. The Torah, when it uses the word Ad, means Adli, means until, until. It means until and including. So that when the Torah says, Mi ben chome shonim, Ad ben esrim, it says ad ben esrim, I know that the 20th year, esrim is 20th, the 20th year is included in that group. So that during the 20th year, it's obvious that he'll pay the lower rate, the rate from between 5 and 20, because it uses the word ad in the pasuk. Ad meaning until. And until means up till and including. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source in which Rebbe's opinion appears. Rebbe is brought at the latter part of the source. This point in the Gemara of Lemo Masis and Delok Rebbe is the beginning of a long question. You can see we've identified it as such with the shin that's encircled that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical descending line which continues down the top of Amud Beis to include the source, which ends five lines from the top. Before we go any further, we should just point out that we have a topic heading, a nosei on the outside margin, and we've written there she'ela. This is a question. Leimo masnisin. Should we say that our Mishnah deboi shana shana lulmoi dishnas esrim kilamata that required the shana shana gezera shava to conclude that the year 20 of a person is considered, is viewed as less than 20? Deloi kerebi. This Mishnah doesn't seem to be in line with Rebbe. The ilu le Rebbe lo boi kra. If this were according to Rebbe, we wouldn't need the pasuk. To whosoever, Rebbe is of the opinion ad, the ad bichlal. When the Torah uses the word ad, up till, it means up till and including. Ukvar kosuv, and the Torah already writes, mi ben chome shonim ad ben esrim. Memela, from the presence of the word ad, when it says ad ben esrim, I understand shnas esrim bichlal hashonim delamato heimenu, that the 20 is included in the group of years under it. Nevertheless, our Mishnah needed to come to that conclusion with the gezeirah shava not using the word ad, leaving us with the feeling that our Mishnah is not according to Rebbe. The Sanya. We continue in the Gemara now, three lines from the bottom. The source, this Tanaic source, which you can see appears in a frame, opens up with the issue of chometz on Pesach. There is a prohibition of eating chometz, or of even possessing chometz, on Pesach. The Pasuk says, Miyom HaRishon V'ad Yom HaShvi. from the first day till the seventh day. Pesach in the Torah is a seven-day holiday, and in Eretz Yisrael it's celebrated as a seven-day holiday. So those are the days on a Torah level where chometz is prohibited. Yochol Rishon Velo Rishon Bichlal Shvi Velo Shvi Bichlal. Could it be that when the Pasuk says Miyom HaRishon, from the first day, it means from after the first day, namely not including the first day, and it says until the seventh day, maybe it means until but not including the seventh day? And in fact, there's precedent for this approach. Ke'inyin shenemar, like it says in the Pasuk regarding a different topic, regarding Mitzora, where the Pasuk speaks about skin discoloration, and it says, Meiroshoi v'ad raglov, from his head till his foot. And there we know, Roshoi v'loi roshoi b'chlal. When the Torah describes skin discoloration in the case of Mitzora, it means from his head, but not including the head. We're talking about from his nose downwards, but not the top of his head. And Raglov v'lo Raglov Bichlal. And when it talks about Mitzora, and the skin discoloration, we talk about until the feet, but the feet themselves are not included. So should we say the same thing with regard to the Pasuk dealing with the Pesach and Chometz from the first day until the seventh day, not including the beginning and not including the end? Talmud Loimar. We have another Pasuk with regard to Pesach, and it says, Ad Yoim Ho'echod V'esrim L'chodesh Bo'erev. until the 21st day of the month and it's evening. In other words, the Pasuk tells us that Pesach, which is celebrated from the 15th of Nisan till the 21st of Nisan, those are 7 days, it's celebrated until the 21st at night, which means a complete seventh day. The entire seventh day is included, and it uses the word there to indicate the end of that day, the complete last day. The word Bo'erev appears, and with regard to the first day of Pesach, the Pasuk says Bo'erev Tochlu Matzah, so we know that the first day is likewise included. However, what we see from here is from the fact that the Torah said by Pesach, it says the Ad Yom HaShvi, that doesn't tell us enough. We need we need another verse to show us how the seventh day is included. Rebbe Oimer Eino Tzarch. Rebbe says, I don't need this pasuk of Ad Yom Ho'echad V'esrim L'chodesh Bo'erev to enable me to conclude that the last day, the seventh day, is included. Rishon V'rishon B'chlal. Shvi'i u'shvi'i b'chlal. When the Pasuk gives us a time frame, Rebbe understands it to mean the beginning is included up till, when it says vi'ad, that means up till and including the end. So what do we see? We see that Rebbe, when he sees the word ad, it means ad vi'ad b'chlal. What about our Mishnah, which spoke about ad ben esrim? And the Mishnah, in order to conclude that ad esrim is included, the 20th year is included with the lower group, and in order for that we needed a gzera shava and not the word ad. So the Gemara says afilu tema Rebbe. No, our Mishnah could agree with Rebbe. The case of the psukim regarding erichin, I won't be able to take advantage of the word ad because of the fact that beyond these ages, there's another age grouping. The Gemara explains, Shkuli Mishkuli Kroi. The psukim are balanced. What do we mean by that? Michti. Ksiv mi ben chodesh viad ben chomesh shanim. There's a Torah rate from a month old till 5 years. Now, we had said up till now that year five is considered like the lower group. However, when you look at the Pasuk, This says mi ben chodesh viad ben chomesh. However, v'su, there's another pasuk that says mi ben chomesh, from the fifth year up till the 20th year. So lomali, what am I going to do with that? This, the when you look at, when you focus on the fifth year, you find that it's drawn in two directions, because on the one hand it said mi ben chodesh viad ben chomesh. Chomesh meaning five, and then it goes on to say mi ben chomesh, and so that the ben chomesh sounds from the second phrase that it's connected with the upper group, with the group between 5 and 20. Hilkoch ishtaklu lehu, because of this, when you look at in this example year 5, it's balanced. You don't know which way to go. Therefore, I need the Gezeirah Shavah to establish that ages mentioned in the Torah, those ages are associated with the age underneath it. And to review then, when you talk about the erech of someone who is in their fifth year, that's considered the rate that you would pay between 30 days and 5. If you talk about the erech of someone in their 20th year, it goes lamata. That means you would pay the erech of that person as if he were 19, which is a rate that figures between 5 and 20. And when it comes to a 60-year-old, a person in his 60th year, it's based on the lower age, which results in a higher payment, but it goes based on the lower age. 60 is viewed as 59. Omar Mar. Here is a quote from something that was mentioned in the Brice at the top of the page. We have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see where this quote is coming from. Roshoi v'lo roshoi b'chlal. Raglov v'lo raglov b'chlal. When viewing the mitzora, and there is a skin discoloration, the Kohen looks at the body of the Mitzora, not the top of his head, nor his feet. Minolon. From where do we know this? Eboyesemo, shiny simonim de gufo, mi simonim de rosho. The type of discoloration associated with the body is different than the type of discoloration that we speak about when it comes to head negoyim. Without getting into details, of course, negoyim is a very broad topic, but in the case of the body, white hairs would establish someone to be a full-fledged mitzora. When it comes to the head, it's a yellowish hair appearance that establishes tzoras. So that the standard applied to the body is different than the standard applied to the head. Eboyesemo, another hesber for how we know that they are not included. L'chol mara einei hakoyen. Here, the pasuk says that the kohen views that which is visible to the eyes of the kohen. Rashi says l'chol mara v'eino yochol lirois b'roish. A Kohen is the one who is needed to paskin, to issue the ruling concerning tzoras. The Kohen cannot see the person's head because of the hair growing on the head. And he can't see the foot because of the closeness of the toes one to the other. He can't see between the toes on the feet. Therefore, the skin on one's head and the feet are not included in that which the Kohen looks at when he comes to issue a ruling concerning Tzoras. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Lozer Omer, Ad Shiu Yiseros Al Hashonim Chodesh V'Yom Echad. The ages stated in the Torah in order to establish the completion of that particular age group, the person would have to have not only completed that number of years, but in order to be considered part of the next age grouping, it would have to be a month and a day beyond that given year. So that if we speak about an erech for someone who has completed 5 years, he'd have to be 5 years, a month, and a day. Or if you talk about the erech of someone who is over 60, it would be 60 years, a month, and a day. Where does Reb Elazar get this from? So Tanya, we have a brisa that reveals his source. Reb Elazar Omer, Ne'emar kan lemala, v'ne'emar lahalon, lahalon in the case of Levim, where the Torah makes an accounting of halachas regarding the tribe of Levi. It says, Chodesh v'mala. Ma lahalon mi ben chodesh v'yoymechod. Just like in the case of the Bamidbar Gimel, which speaks about the Levium, we're talking about someone who is a month, over a month in age. Ma lahalon, I'll read again, bi ben chodesh v'yom echad. So too in the case of the Levium. For example, if you deal with the Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen was in the Torah a case where the Levi was exchanged for the firstborn as the means of redeeming the firstborn, and the Levium would then serve in the Beis HaMikdash instead of the firstborn. So in that case, we know that the Levi would have to be, we're talking about a redemption of someone who was a month and a day of age. And to this very day, we have this appearing in the case of Pidyon HaBen, where a child is redeemed, the five slum are given to a Kohen when the child is a month and a day of age. So just like over there, we know that the calculation is based on a month and a day. That's what it says. It says Chodesh V'malo. Afkan, so too in the Erechin ages, where the word Lamala appears, it is a reference to Chodesh V'yoyim Echad, not just 1 day into the new age, but a month and a day. Well, the Gemara asks, V'eimal ki hasam, if you want to compare things to what it says by the Levium, Ma hasam chad yoimo afkan chad yoimo. There, when we're speaking about, in the case of Levium, we spoke about a month and a day. What did Lamala mean over there? It meant just 1 day over the age of a month. So to here, when it speaks about five volmala, 5 years and a day. The Gemara answers, Im kain gzera shava mayahani. So if you're coming to that conclusion, what do I need to have the... Why is it needed to be presented as a gzeirah shavah, as a word comparison? If it's just an issue of 1 day, well, it already says vomala in the case of erechin. So if vomala was simply coming to teach me 1 more day into the new age, 5 and a day, or 20 and a day, I wouldn't need to resort to a word comparison. Once again, the word vomala is built into erechin already. So if I'm going to be comparing the topic of Levium to erechin, I would have to be comparing it for something that I wouldn't have known already by erechin as well. And hence, we come to the conclusion that just like by Levium, it says in the Pasuk Chodesh Vomala, I apply that to the realm of Erechin, and I come out with Chodesh Vomala, an additional month and a day beyond the stated year in order to establish the Torah rate for that individual. Tonu Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source that deals with many different topics, five different areas in which ages or years are mentioned. Shana ha'amura b'kotchim. The year stated by kotchim. The Torah, for example, says keves ben shnosoi, that one must bring as a sacrifice a sheep ben shnosoi. Ben shnosoi would mean that it should be within its first year of age. So it speaks about a year. Shana ha'amura b'bote orei choyma. There's a rule concerning the sales of houses in walled cities. The Torah tells us that if a person owns a house in a walled city and sells it, he has an option within the first year of the sale to buy it back from the purchaser, to in effect force him to sell it back. However, if the owner, the seller, doesn't make this move in trying to buy it back within the year of the sale, he can no longer insist on a repurchase. He loses that option, that right. Shtei shonim shebestei achuza. In the sale of a inheritance field, a field that one inherited, and he sells it to someone else, the purchaser is entitled to hold on to it for 2 years. If after the 2 years the original owner wants to buy it back, so then he can buy it back, but he cannot force a buyback within 2 years. V'sheish shonim shebe eved ivri. We know that a Jew who is sold into forced servitude, compulsory servitude, known as avdus, he sold for 6 years. So we have a reference to a unit of time in as presented as a year, 6 years. V'chein shebeben v'shebebas. This expression is unclear. We'll leave that for the Gemara to decipher later on. Kulon me'esleis. All of these time periods that we refer to are based on from esleis, means from literally from hour to hour. When we speak about a year, we speak about the individual year as applies specifically. What we mean by that simply is, if you speak about the age of a sheep for a korban, we say it must be within its first year. So if the animal is born on the first of Tammuz, its year is not completed until the next year, first of Tammuz, arises. Now this is in contrast with what one might have thought otherwise, that there's a change of year on the calendar, whereby we say a new year comes in. In many cases we speak about Rosh Hashanah, the first of Tishrei, as being the ushering in of a new year. So if we didn't say this, that these things are judged me'eis leis, if I had an animal, let's say, just using one example, had an animal that was born 2 days before Rosh Hashanah, it would be considered into its second year just as the calendar changes. Once the Aleph Tishrei passes, it would be said to be in its second year. And therefore, you could have an animal that's just a few days old, but since it was born a couple days before Rosh Hashanah, it would become invalid as a korban for those korbanos that have to be within their first year with the passage of Rosh Hashanah. Well, anyway, we don't say that. We say that the shona, in this case, the age, is determined on a personal, individual basis, and not on the change of year based on the calendar. And now, as you skim ahead in the Gemara, you can see double underlinings, and they're featured on the Nosei Mivneh heading that we have in our outside margin. We see a double underline, and we note Rishima Shel Dvorim She Nimdodim B'Me'es Leis. This is the list of things that were mentioned in the source that are judged on this Me'es Leis basis. Literally is from time to time, or from hour to hour, or year to year, let's say day to day basis. The Gemara goes on, giving us the sources for each one of these items. Shana Mura B'Kodshim Minon. From where do we know that when we speak about the year with regard to sacrifices, it's based on its personal year? Omar Rav Acho Bar Yankiv, Omar Kro. The Pasuk says, Keves Ben Shnosoi. Keves Ben Shnoso, its year. Shnoso Shelo. So the word Shana appears in the possessive, its year. Velo Shel Minyan Oilam. And not based on the years as are counted by the world, meaning the calendar year. Shono Amura Bebote Orechoma, the year in which a person can force the buyback of his house in the walled city. Dichtiv Ad Toim Shnas Mem Koro, until he can buy back before the completion of the year of his sale. memkoro shelo, his personal sale, the date of his own of his sale, velo shona laminyan olam, and not based on the fact that the calendar indicates the ushering in of a new year. Therefore, if a person sold a house a few days before Rosh Hashanah, we're not going to tell him that you only have a few days to buy it because a new year is coming in after Rosh Hashanah. But no, if he sold it at the end of the month of Elul of a given year, he has a whole year until next Elul, until that date in the next Elul, to buy his house back. The third example, Shtei Shonim Shebestei Achuza, the halacha concerning the buyback of an inheritance field, whereby he cannot do it within the first 2 years. How do we know that it's based on a personal sale date and not based on a calendar change? Diftiv. The pasuk says, "B'mispar shnei tvuois yimocher loch." Now, in this pasuk, you have the word shnei and you have tvuos. So the word shnei would indicate 2 years, and 2 years you would expect to have two crops, and it also says tvuos. Tvuos is an extra word indicating an extra crop. Pa'omim she'odam oichel shalosh tvuos b'shtei shonim. Sometimes it works out, in the case of the sale of shtei achuzos, it works out that the purchaser will be able to enjoy three crops in 2 years. Now, how do you figure that? How do you figure that a person could have three crops in 2 years? So the only way for that to come out is if you say that the 2 years spoken about are a two full years. And that could happen in a case where the purchaser bought a piece of property with grains that are fully grown, and the day that he buys it, he harvests it, and that would be the first crop. Then 1 year later, he'll have planted and harvest a second crop, and another full year later, he'll have harvested and planted, in effect, his third crop. Now, in order to come out to come up with that calculation, we have to have said that he is entitled to hold on to it for two full years from the time of purchase. Otherwise, if it were a function of calendar year change, if he bought it like that with a full crop in it, so that as soon as the next year comes around, that would be considered its second year, and he'd only have one more crop to get from it. And at that point, the owner would have been able to force a buyback. But yet the pasuk makes an accounting for three crops. So the only way to say that then is to say that the purchaser is able to hold on to it, as we said in our example, for a period of two full years from the time of the purchase, and not based on a mere calendar change, a year change based on the calendar. Number four, Sheish Sheba Eved Ivri, Dichtiv, the 6 years that a person who is sold into slavery is sold for 6 years based on the date based on the time of the sale into this servitude. Dichtiv, Sheish Shonim Yavod Ubashviis. The truth is that the pasuk goes on to say that Ubashviis Yetzei L'Chofshi, that he goes in the seventh year he goes free, but because the Torah doesn't have punctuation to it, so you can read it as Sheish Shonim Yavod Ubashviis. Zimnin, it sometimes the Bashviis Nami Yavod, that he works into the seventh year. What does that mean? He works into the seventh year. That means that we base the 6 years from the time of sale plus from the time of sale for a full 6 years. It's true that in his sixth year there's already been a calendar change between when the new Tishrei came in, when the new Rosh Hashanah came in, that represented the lapse into the seventh year. It's a seventh year calendar wise, but it's still he remains working, because he hasn't finished a full 6 years of servitude. And as we said, it's based on the calculation from the time of the sale. The Gemara continues, V'shebeben v'shebebas kulon me'es le'es. L'may hilchusa, what is this reference to the years of Ben Ubas? Omer of Gidol Omer Rav le'erichin. This has to do with the ages for establishing the erech rate, the Torah rate of a person. So when we speak about a person being 5 years old, we're talking about he is in the category of, let's say, under five, till he completes 5 years of age based on the time of his birth, what we call his birthday. Rav Yosef Omar, le pirkin de yotze dofen. Pirkin means the perek of yotze dofen. Yotze dofen is the name of the perek, of a perek in Maseches Nida. In that perek, the Mishnah there speaks about ages when a person makes a vow. If a child, let us say, makes a neder, so we don't pay attention to it. It has no legal bearing. However, if a depending on gender, male or female, there's a different rate, a different standard. But if you talk about a male, when he reaches 12 years of age, when he's completed 12 years, between that age and age 13, the vows that he takes when he's completed 12 years, which is essentially the point, which is a year before he would celebrate his bar mitzvah. So the Mishnah says, Nidorov Nivdokim. That means we check him out to see if he understands what a vow is, and he understands that the binding nature of it. If he understands it, then his vow is binding. That's Nidorov Nivdokim. So that's based also on the age of the child. So in the spirit of things, we speak about a 12-year-old, his vows are checked. When we speak a 12-year-old, we mean that he's completed 12 full years from his birthday, and not that he's into a 12th calendar year. Omale Abaye l'Rav Yosef, mi palgisu. Abaye asks Rav Yosef, are you arguing with Rav? In other words, you said that the me'es le'es standard is applied to the issue that's mentioned in Perek of Yotze Doifen for the ages referred to in Maseches Nida. Are you disagreeing with Rav? Amale loy. I'm not here to disagree with Rav. I'm not here to say that Rav and I argue, that let's say Rav would not agree with me. Ano amri chadavu omar chado. I said one pshat in what our Mishnah is referring to, and Rav said our Mishnah is referring to something else, but not to the exclusion of what I said. Hochi nami mistabro. It's most likely that Rav is not arguing with Rav Yosef. The isalkadaitoch pligi. If you would think that they're arguing, and it would come out then that man di omar le'erichin, Rav, who said that full years are applied to the Erechin standard, lo omar liyotze doifen, that he would say it, that approach doesn't apply to the issue of the perek yotze doifen, but v'omar Rav hilchusa b'kula birka me'es leis, but Rav himself has said that the halacha in regarding all the ages mentioned in the perek of yotze doifen are in fact me'es leis. They are based on a full year standard, and not just a calendar change of year. So at this point, Rav and Rav Yosef are not arguing with each other. V'elo l'man di'omar le'erichin, my time alomar li'yotze doifen. If there's total agreement that the topic of erichin and the topic of the perek yotze doifen are based on complete personal years, so why is it that Rav, who said that our Mishnah's reference to Ben Ubas, that he chose to associate that with Erechin, and didn't say that V'chein Shebeben V'Shebebas is a reference to the ages as referred to regarding Perek Yotzei Dofen? Answer, Dumyo Dahanoch. Rav figured, he felt more comfortable by saying that, by interpreting Ben Libas as like the other examples in this source, the source that you see above in the frame. Ma Hanoch Diksiva, the other points that are mentioned, Boteori Chomon, Steachuza, and Eved Ivri, those times are all based on psukim, are written in explicit form in verses. Av Hanoch, so too Ben Ubas Diksiva, has to be referring to something that appears in a scriptural form, and that is the case with Erechin. In Sefer Vayikra, the Torah has a parsha dealing with Erechin, as opposed to ages concerning vow taking. That is not something that's explicit in the psukim. The Idoch, Rav Yosef, I Salka Daituch Diksiva, if you were to think that the reference of Ben Ubas is based on something that's written, namely Erechin, then the language should have been different. Hi, Shebe Ben v'Shebe Bas, at the top of Yud Tes Omer Aleph, Shebe Zohar v'Shebe Nekeva Miboyalei. The Brisa should have used the language of the Pasuk, namely Zohar Nekeva, male and female. Those words, Zohar and Nekeva, appear in the Pasuk. It says, Im Zohar, Im Nekeva. It doesn't say Ben Ubas. So from the fact that this Tanaic source used a non-scriptural language, it must be that it's not referring to Erechin, but like I said, it's referring to Perikin de Yotze Dofen, the issue of vowel checking for knowledge of vowels. Umayshno, this is a question that's based on a general knowledge of Erechin. It says, Umayshno Nekeva, Dechi Mizkina, Kaimo Atilsa. A female, when she becomes, when she enters her the final age category, the final age grouping, in other words, she completes her 60th year, we know that she goes from, prior to the 60th year, she goes from a 30 rate to a 10 rate. In other words, she would have had to pay 30 sloyim, but now she's completed 60 years, she pays 10 sloyim. So the rate, we'll call it the elder rate, is a third of the rate just before. Umayshno Zohar, when you're dealing with a man who enters the elder realm, he drops from a rate of 50, meaning between 20 and 60 he was paying a rate of 50, and now he pays a rate of 15. So that drop is a drop where he drops to even less than a third, the lokoi atilsa. 15 is a third of 45, but if he dropped from 50 down to 15, it's now less than even a third of the previous category. So that we can say, in a sense, if we want to use the word depreciation for lack of better expression, the rate drop or the depreciation that one finds by a male is greater than the depreciation that one finds by the female. What's the reason for this? Omar Chizkiah cites common phrases and says, Amri Inshi, people say, Sabo Babesa, Pacha Babesa. An old man in the house is like a broken vessel in the house. He's a burden. Safta Babesa, an old woman in the house, the old grandmother image that we all may have. Oh, Sima Babesa, she is like a hidden treasure in the house. The description here, and it might be something that many of you could relate to, there's an image that's being described through of an old man sitting in a rocking chair all day, basically doing nothing. And as opposed to the old woman, the grandmother figure who still continues baking and cooking and preparing all kinds of goodies for the grandkids. And this is not just my made up description, but if you look in the Rashi, Rashi Pacha, he says, Shever, broken, She'en o'elo lamasa, he's a mere burden. Then we go to the next Rashi, Sima. Rashi says, Matmon, it's a hidden treasure. She litroch velasus melocha beziknusa. She continues doing, performing tasks, home-related tasks, even in her old age. It could very well be that in the case of a man, it's generally perceived the standard image of a man is during his productive years, he's outdoors earning a living. And when that finishes, he then has nothing to do by way of productive activity. As opposed to the woman was and is always viewed as the homekeeper. Even if she happens to have a profession, she nevertheless, most women, even professional women, nevertheless maintain their homes. They're engaged in cooking and baking and all that, and that activity simply continues. Hence you see this difference, and this explains the percentage drop that is different in the case of a man than in the case of a woman. With that, we complete our shiur as well as the perek for today.